think that if we're not willing to have conversations with people, then maybe we shouldn't be in the workplace. So especially certainly not entrepreneurship. You know, you every day we have hard conversations. And so I think if you can find a way to take baby steps, so maybe it's just, hey, this is how I like the shelves to be set up. This is what makes me feel excited to walk in here and share these handbags with people. Let's set the shelves up this way. Just taking baby steps to communicate what your wants and needs are, that of course will benefit the business.
Hello, my name is Emily Jansen, and this is the Leadership is Female podcast. We interview women in the sports and entertainment businesses to teach you the tips and the mindset that will get you to the top faster. Marian Wright Edelman said, "You can't be what you can't see." Let's bring visibility to women who are crushing it in their roles. Join us week after week, season after season, as we reach back to extend a hand to pull you forward. We will lead you forward because leadership is female.
Welcome to the Leadership is Female podcast, Monica and Erica. I'm so excited to have sisters, co-founders, entrepreneurs here with me today. And I want you to introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Monica, and I am the older sister, older but shorter. And this is Erica. We are sisters and co-founders of Season 2 Consign, which is a luxury resale e-com company. And we recently have franchised as well. So we are also the co-founders of Season 2 Franchising.
Why did you decide to start Season 2? Did you see a need in the market? Why did you do this together? Tell us that origin story.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started Season 2, it was in the summer of the pandemic. So it was summer 2020. Everybody was at home. I have a background in luxury resale. So I was on the digital side of a small boutique consignment company. They did all kinds of things like jewelry, clothing. It was your very traditional retail experience. And for several years ahead of COVID, I had started to think like there's something in this digital space. There's something that the digital space is missing. And when COVID hit, I had had my second child and I was at home, and I went to Monica and I pitched her this crazy idea of starting an online marketplace that was not retail. So we were just online. It was just going to be an online store. And then Monica gave us our twist, which was we were going to go live. We were going to specialize in live shopping. And within just a few weeks, we were in this 400 square foot space with, you know, our moms, our stuff that we had collected, everything that we had put into this online store. I think we launched with 24 pieces. And as afraid and terrified as I was, Monica clicked go live on Instagram, like I think on the third day. And I was so panicked and so scared, but it was really the catalyst for everything that Season 2 Consign has become, which is a live shopping marketplace that provides services and beautiful products to people all over the world.
Do you think that going live helps your customers connect more with you and the product and help them to hit that purchase button? I mean, it sounds like it's really changed your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we were in the pandemic, I thought, well, how are we supposed to connect with people? We can put content out, we can put nice, pretty photos and create nice, pretty videos, but how are we really going to connect with people when no one is leaving their homes? And so, you know, I kind of decided to hit that go live button and everything changed after that. And for us, it's been such a huge contributor to why people trust the brand, because we're very much authentic in every sense of that overly used word when it comes to live shopping.
Sometimes too authentic, I think.
Too authentic.
We well, definitely
you're really put seeing ourselves that out there. Product and seeing you and building that trust with your customers.
Yes. And I think luxury resale, because there is this culture of super fakes and people really, the resale market can be a black hole sometimes. And so the more you build trust with people, the more comfortable they're going to be to shop with you.
Yeah, well, in November, we celebrated Women's Entrepreneurship Day, and nearly 13 million U.S. small businesses are women-owned. And in 2022, women-owned businesses had higher earnings growth than male-owned firms, which is incredible. But despite these statistics, there are a lot of barriers that women face to starting their own businesses. What are these barriers, and what do you guys think, having found success, women can do to overcome these barriers?
I would say one of the biggest barriers is probably just the very quote unquote traditional expectations that society puts on women, but also we put on ourselves because society puts those traditional expectations on us. For example, mom guilt is very real. We're both mothers. And even having a teenager, it doesn't change just because he's not little anymore. It's still there. But I think being able to disengage from that guilt and kind of step outside of the box, and it's easier said than done, trust me, because it's a daily kind of thing to remind myself I am doing something for the sake of my family and honestly for myself as well. And so I think compartmentalizing the what you really want to do, but then also the expectations that people have of you, like, oh, you're not going to be home at 5 o'clock with dinner and an apron on. No, I won't. And it's okay.
Yeah. I think, Monica, to add to that, I think, you know, something tactical or practical that you can do, is to surround yourself with people who want you to succeed in any aspect where you want to succeed. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, Monica and I are both very blessed with partners who do not adhere to those traditional guidelines, and they want to see us win. And so they step in the gap when, oh, I feel like crying. No. they step in the gap when we need them to, and there's no guilt. It's, you know, all hands on deck. Same with our family, same with some of our closest friends. Like, we really have, in some ways cut out people who didn't want our success for us. And we saw that. And we kept and held tight to the people who did.
I do think that those traditional expectations that society puts on, I think that in a way it also impacts women in entrepreneurship roles, because sometimes the big wigs at the top that have all of the investment money will look at a woman through that lens and hesitate to fund, even if it's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to know more about what we can do to break down some of these barriers, because even inside business, right, these stereotypes exist. If you're not the entrepreneur, if you're looking for a job or you've been hired in a job, I always dread when people ask if I have children. It turns from a fun, like, get to know you conversation to like something that's going to stand in the way of travel or extra hours. And I know that I'm not alone in that experience. And I think, you know, the more we show up, the more we make an impact on this world, the more we can continue to break down those stereotypes and those barriers to show that, you know, those traditional ideals don't have to stand in our way.
Absolutely. And I think that also, if you really look at big business, things need to change in a very, very real way. For our business, in our office, we make it a safe space for working mothers specifically. And so if your child needs to stop by because your husband doesn't know how to do her hair properly for ballet, that's okay. Because I know you're doing your job and I know you're happy doing your job, but your daughter can run in and you can do her hair, hairspray her, make her look really cute, and she can be on her way to ballet. And there's a sort of balance there that I think needs to be more acceptable mm-hmm. for women.
Yeah. And I think that the more that we do that, right? So for example, at season two, We make space for people to be both professionals and mothers and professionals, or not even just mothers, professionals and women, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to make an appointment for the gynecologist and it just has to happen, right? We don't have a choice. And that's okay. I think here, one of our core values is spirit of excellence, which I'll probably say 3 or 4 more times in this conversation. But because one of our core values is spirit of excellence, it's okay that your daughter's coming in to get her ballet bun done for 10 minutes because every other place of the business is being treated with a spirit of excellence. And so I know that our teams are going way above and beyond than they would anywhere else.
Yeah, I love the way you put that, spirit of excellence. I have had people work for me that I've said, if you get your job done, right, you know the expectations, you know what you need to do in order to excel and do great work. The other things can happen, you know, during the traditional workday timeframe, as long as you're getting done what needs to be done. And I think the more we continue to break this down and allow people to be people as well as employees, then we're not going to fight turnover, which is expensive. And we're going to have a happier, healthier, non-toxic workplace.
Absolutely.
So speaking of teamwork and all of these things, you guys are sisters. So I want to hear a little bit about what advice you might have to share about teamwork since you've been doing it your whole life.
Yeah. I mean, I have to start by, I'm going to ring my mom's bell, put a feather in her cap. So we come from a family that had very open communication. So my mom is a psychotherapist. And so we grew up having very open communication and talking to each other ad nauseum sometimes and talking about our feelings and all rooted in from a place of respect. And so when we decided to work together, we decided we're going to maintain that open communication. We're going to tell each other what we think. We're going to be honest, right? Because without honesty, you can't get anything done. So the communication has been very critical for us, is constantly taking the temperature. Where are we? And that doesn't mean it's always pretty. It doesn't mean it's always healthy, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it to open your mouth and say, this is how I feel. This is what I think. This is where I think we should go. This is how I feel like casting vision today. These are all of the things that we want to accomplish, right? And so as co-founders and as partners, we kind of melt those two things together because we don't always think exactly the same, right? Even though we're sisters, we're not the same people.
But that's why it works. That's why it works. Yeah. Because we're the complete opposites of each other.
Yeah. I think that's critical as well to Monica's point. We're very different in our strengths. And so Monica, you can probably elaborate more on this, left brain and right brain. I always forget which brain I am and where my strengths are, but I know that I'm the creative, I'm the casting vision, I'm the this is what we're doing next person. And Monica is the operational mind. She's the administrative mind. She knows how to preempt issues and problems and how to do all those things. And so we really do, and I think this is important, not just if you're working with family, but just when you're working in teams and working with other people, is understanding where people's strengths are and allowing them to work to those strengths, right? Giving the space for your partner, for your leadership, to do the things that make them flourish so that they can.
But I think it's also, to your point, Erica, also admitting when you don't know how to do something or when something is not your strength. Erica is all of what is forward-facing in our company. Everything you see on Instagram, TikTok, on the website, we just did an amazing website refresh. That's all Erica. If you left it up to me, it'd look like a MySpace page when, you know, back in the day when it came out and everyone wanted, what's his name, Matt, to be their friend. So, you know, Erica, that is her strength. That is not my strength. And I admit that willingly. And I think as a leader, you have to be able to admit when you maybe don't know or wouldn't be able to do something as well as someone else and allow someone else to step in that gap for you. I think that that's really important.
What do you say to people who find the conversation or the communication too hard? Like, the people who sweep it under the rug, right? It's like, oh, if I ignore this, maybe it'll just go away, or that conversation feels too big. Like, how can they be motivated or gather that willpower to engage in those tough conversations?
I think taking baby steps. I think that if we're not willing to have conversations with people, then maybe we shouldn't be in the workplace. So especially, certainly not entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. You know, every day we have hard conversations. And so I think if you can find a way to take baby steps, so maybe it's just, hey, this is how I like the shelves to be set up. This is what makes me feel excited to walk in here and share these handbags with people. Let's set the shelves up this way. Just taking baby steps to communicate what your wants and needs are, that of course will benefit the business.
And there's a saying that one of our franchise mentors said a while ago, and it really just stuck with me, is expectation without proper communication is the fastest route to resentment. And I think that people really kind of need to keep that in their minds, because resentment will eat away at all of what you're trying to do.
It's so good. Expectation without proper communication is the fastest way to resentment. It's so true. And you don't want to end up at that destination, right? I think we have all good intentions, but I think you get so worried about saying something to someone that might be perceived as negative, that sometimes you just bury it instead of letting it out. But I think, Erica, you did a really good job too of framing a way to give feedback that doesn't feel offensive, right? It's like, hey, it makes me feel great when the shelves look this way. Yeah. Or I think it makes our customers feel great when they see things like this. You know, what do you think about if we arrange it in this way? There's other ways to deliver tough conversations than what you might have originally thought up in your head. So you guys mentioned your franchising a few times. I want to talk about that. And you're the world's first and only franchise opportunity of its kind. What were the keys to getting started with the franchise?
I would say the very first thing with starting a franchise is to make sure you have a really strong legal team that specializes in franchising, because there's just so much legality that goes into franchising, and you want to make sure that you're protected from the very beginning. But aside from that, I would say really making sure that, like, for us, the most important thing was to have a proper avatar of who we want as our franchise partner and what their values are, what their work ethic is, what they do on a day-to-day basis, what music they listen to, who they, you know, the books they like to read. All of that goes into someone's character and is very, very telling. And so we ask all of those questions right up front. When people submit that they're interested in a franchise location. So I think in franchising, it's really understanding that you are no longer in business for yourself. You are now in business for a community of people. And when you bring on someone new into that community, you want to make sure that they're going to be the best fit for the whole ecosystem.
You guys have really been off to the races since you started with a very quick trajectory. What were some of the hurdles that you had to face along the way?
I think probably the main hurdle was actually the technology. You know, before we even started franchising, we had things in place like our core values, right? That really led how we wanted to build the business. But somewhere where we sort of felt like it wasn't our strength was in the technology component that was going to support the business, right? That was really the entire back end of how this functions, right? And so when we say we're the first of our kind, we really mean it. I mean, we had to build the technology that was not there before. And so we worked with our development team, and we just had to be so detailed. It had to be so accurate. There was no room for error. And so building out that technology, and really we had to sort of navigate through the customer experience every click, every roll, scroll at a time. And so building that out was months and months and months of work. And then we were able to launch our franchise with this incredible technology that makes us super fast and super efficient. So building that was really tricky. Finding a developer to even understand what we were trying to create and take us seriously because we're women in a lot of ways was really challenging. You know, it definitely took at least a year to find the right developer.
Yeah. And even in the franchise space, we are zebras among horses, totally and completely, because we've taken the traditional franchise model and kind of turned it on its head. And people looked at us like we had three heads. They were like, what are you talking about? That's not franchising. And we were like, no, this is franchising, but this is the new franchising.
2023. We're stepping it up.
I love that. Well, it took significant investment for you to get these technology platforms off the ground. And I think that often stands as a hurdle for entrepreneurs to get their business started. How did you guys overcome that hurdle of investment? Or what advice do you have for people who see sort of a paywall, right, in their way? Like, oh, you know, it's going to take this level of money to get from here to there. And I'm not sure if I should do it.
Well, for us, we have bootstrapped. We have bootstrapped in the finest sense of the word since the very beginning. And so when we launched season two, as Erica said earlier, we started with like 20 something pieces, all from our personal collection and our mom's personal collection. And when we started season two franchising, it was funded by season two consign. And so we've just bootstrapped the entire way, and we don't know any other way to do it, but bootstrapping is not for everyone. It can eat away at you sometimes. And sometimes you're like, man, all that money we had in the bank and now it's over here. And, you know, and you get this kind of every now and then you're like, okay, is this worth it? Is this really worth it? All of this work and bootstrapping and worrying and nickel and diming. But at the end of the day, for us, it was the best way to go because we wanted to make sure we didn't have to answer to anyone else when it came to how we were going to grow season two as far as franchising.
So what advice do you have for other women who are looking to become entrepreneurs, or they have their idea burning in their brain, but they haven't taken the first step?
I would say just do. And I know that sounds so simple and yet so challenging, especially for women. But I think if every single day you just do, take one step, check one thing off the list, file your LLC today, tomorrow, get your domain, the next day, figure out where you're going to find your products. Just keep going. Don't take no for an answer. And then again, going back to spirit of excellence, I would tattoo it on my forehead if my husband would let me. Spirit of excellence to me, like if you are going to go live on Instagram, do it with a spirit of excellence. Is this every step you take, everything you do, run it through this mental filter of spirit of excellence. Am I approaching this in the best possible way with every resource I have, even if that doesn't include dollars.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you, Erica. And to that point too, it's easy as women to focus on the glass ceiling and all of the hurdles that might be in our way. And it's a mindset shift that you choose to do on a daily basis. And you have to choose that every single day to say, no, I'm not going to focus on that glass ceiling. No, I'm not going to focus on the reasons why someone's going to not want to shop with me or not want to invest with me. I'm going to focus on my why and my how and my what, and just continue trekking forward.
Do you need a keynote speaker for your next conference, ERG meeting, event, or group? I'm here, raising my hand. I help leaders grow their confidence so that they can lead more intentional, goal-directed, fulfilled, and happy lives. We are conditioned from our childhood to stay small. Don't be conceited. Run in the middle of the pack, because if we speak out too much or shine too brightly, we will offend other people. This could not be more wrong. When you are your best, most confident leader, you give others permission to shine too. So, how do we get there? How do we increase our confidence? I love sharing my best practices and proven methods to help leaders grow into who they are meant to be. Your most confident, authentic self, ready to take on your next biggest challenge in the office and in your personal life. Get in touch at emilyjanson.com. I don't know about you, but I love learning more about myself. If there's a quiz out there to help me better understand who I am, I'll take it. If there's a journal prompt, I'm using it. But how about a business that helps female leaders communicate effectively while inspiring confidence and trust in those you want to impact? Sign me up. Breakthrough Brands is unlocking clarity for women leading progress. They build leadership brands for women to discover what inspires them, define what drives them, and unlock how to share their brands with others. Do you want to gain clarity on your personal brand? Shoot me a note at leadershipisfemale@gmail.com or on Instagram, and we will introduce you to the women who will help you unlock your leadership brand. That's breakthroughbrands.com. At Leadership is Female, we are serious about supporting you in your career. That includes the tips to get you ahead inside your current organization or provide you with the next big opportunity in a new role. That's why we have partnered with Legacy Search, an executive recruiting firm specializing in mid to senior level executive searches across professional, collegiate, and minor league sports. Check out the openings listed at legacysportssearch.com or in our monthly Leadership is Female newsletter. Hint, if you have not signed up for the newsletter, head to leadershipisfemale.com. If you find a job listed at Legacy Sports Search that looks like it should be yours, email us at leadershipisfemale@gmail.com and we will introduce you directly to the opportunity. This is your career. Make the most of it.
Yeah, well, I can hear in these answers, the taking one step every day, the just do it, gathering momentum, circles back to the beginning of the conversation where we talked about the people who surround you and making sure that the people who surround you are your biggest champions, because they're going to make it easier for you to stay in that zone of just do and momentum and one thing every day. And it all comes together to create this successful business, who you surround yourself with and what you do every single day. So going back to the product side of things, I would be doing our listeners a disservice if we didn't talk about some of your products, some of your handbags. What are some of the staple pieces that you think women need to have in their closet? And what would you say if someone is a little bit hesitant to shop secondhand? Like, how do you get over that hurdle?
Yeah. So I personally adhere to the theory that less is more. I don't think that everybody needs gigantic collections. I think in our current, this consumerism of more, there's constantly an influencer online unboxing some extravagant handbag that half of us are like, most of us are like, I could never afford that. How is this happening? Right. I think less is more. I think that every, working woman needs a good work bag. And if you're not working outside of the home, you need a pickup bag to throw your kids' snacks in or whatever it is, something that makes you feel good, that's practical, that you can use every day and that you feel proud of, but also something that's going to last and stand the test of time, right? You don't want to grab something every day that starts to fall apart at the bottom or the seam is opening up. And so that's why that's part of the reason why we love luxury so much, is that oftentimes the craftsmanship is just going to lend itself to lasting longer. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then I think, maybe a small bag to go out to dinner on date night or something along those lines. We like to talk about handbags as heirlooms. And so as long as you can take care of the few pieces that you have, I'll be the first one to say, I have 3 or 4 handbags in my collection. And most people are shocked to know that with all the handbags, all the access we have, that's all I need. I don't need more than that. And so I'd like to think that most people don't need more than 4 or 5 handbags. What was the other question?
How do you get over that hurdle of shopping secondhand if you might be hesitant to buy used versus something brand new?
Yeah, I mean, I think the very first thing is that you, if you are exploring shopping secondhand, but you've never done it before, I think the very first most important thing is making sure that you're shopping with a vendor that is reputable, that you can go to their customers and really see their reviews, right? Do your due diligence as a consumer to make sure that you're getting something not just of quality, but also something that's authentic. Mm-hmm. This is the age, sadly, of counterfeiting. And it's more prevalent than ever. It's entirely damaging to our earth, to our culture, in my opinion. But it's really going to be important that you do your due diligence as a consumer. Ask questions. No question is a silly question. That's one of the things I feel like has catapulted season two, is that we're really open books. So when someone lands on season two consigned for the very first time, and they say, hey, you know, I don't know anything about Chanel, but I really like it. All of our teams here at HQ and in all of our franchise owners are so willing to walk the journey with our customers and talk to them about Chanel and the history of the brand and what makes, you know, old Chanel, vintage Chanel better than new Chanel. We like to say that as well. So, you know, educating yourself as a consumer, but also asking questions.
Yeah, I love these answers. I agree with you completely. Less is more. And also, the quality is mind-blowing. Like, I have two nice handbags, and they still look brand new, even though my small one goes in the diaper bag. It gets thrown in my backpack when I travel. I mean, it has been everywhere. And honestly, it still looks brand new. So the investment is, like you said, it could be an heirloom. It could be timeless for you. So, you know, sticker shock is real in the beginning. But when you think about having less instead of having more, having quality over quantity, it really makes sense. And then also, like, what a great way to start your collection shopping at season two first, so that you can get all the download of knowledge of the product without also having that luxury. Sometimes the luxury experience in store is not great. I will tell you all that. I was in Italy this summer for my 10-year wedding anniversary trip, and we were shopping in Florence, and it was not fun. I felt like, as you walk in, they're deciding how much money you can spend. And yeah, I'm like on vacation, you know, I had like a cocktail and I'm like walking in, just want to look and maybe I'll buy something, you know, you don't know. And I would say that I did not like how it felt, and I didn't buy anything. I ended up buying a local artisan that had made a leather bag. I ended up buying that instead. And I was like, this, you know, these people treated me nicely. So I think that, you know, the experience of being able to be candid and vulnerable and ask questions and like get to know, you're making a significant investment and it means something. It's something that you're carrying with you all the time. And so you want to feel good about it. You want to feel good also about the experience you had getting that item.
That feeling that you just talked about with the actual boutique experience of shopping luxury, that used to be also the experience for the most part of shopping luxury resale. And that was a huge part of our initial like foundational mission statement, was that we wanted to change the face of luxury resale from the very beginning, because it was not inclusive. It felt very exclusive. It was very similar to, I have this Chanel, it's less than retail. You're lucky, you can get it, buy it. And then we were like, we don't want to make people feel that way. And I think since then, since the pandemic, since COVID, it really has shifted tremendously. But when we first started season two, it still felt like that even in resale.
Well, I love that we landed on this part of the conversation, because it's so important the way that things make you feel. You don't want to, even as simple as like buy a t-shirt on your vacation if you didn't have a great time, right? And so if you spend a significant amount of your hard-earned money on a beautiful bag, but the salesperson made you feel not that great, that bag is going to kind of in a weird way, like it's going to carry that experience and carry that energy with you. So in this case, how fun is it to be able to ask all sorts of questions? How long is this going to last? You know, what is your experience with it? What does it feel like? Why should I buy it? What is it about the brand? You're making your customers feel comfortable. I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So what big goals do you have for season two in 2024?
Oh, well, for us, we're very, very fortunate that we have some really cool people that are in the franchise discovery pipeline right now. And we're most likely going to, fingers crossed, end the year with 7 locations minimum. But in 2024, we would love to be able to bring on at least another 10 franchise partners across the country. And the process, we're very slow to award franchise locations, again, because we're protecting our ecosystem. But I think that we have some really, really great prospects in the pipeline. I'm excited about it.
That's amazing. We talk so much about goal setting on this show. And I love, Monica, that you named your goal and you assigned a number. So that is the most important thing in reaching new heights is calling your shot. So I love that. Okay. So last question for you before we get into the quick final four, but how much do you think that courage and confidence has played into your success, and where do you draw those behaviors from?
Yeah, I love this question. I think that courage and confidence are almost everything. Besides having a great foundation and great values, courage and confidence have been everything for us. I think Monica has a lot of the confidence and I have a lot of the courage, and together we figure it out, right? I would say in terms of confidence, like going back to that origin story where Monica clicked the live button and I nearly fainted. At least, you know, for the next 15 shows, I nearly fainted every time. But then you gain confidence when you continue to push yourself, even just, you know, those little steps that we talked about, that has all been really integral in the growth of our business. And I think it will be moving forward.
Confidence isn't something that's just naturally in you either. There are so many things that you have to go through to build real confidence, and you're going to fail. And, you know, that I think there's a limit to the fake it till you make it. I think you really have to try and fail and try, and you got a little bit better, but then you failed, and then you try again and you continue trying, and you're going to build more and more confidence. Just don't let it break you in the process.
Yeah, I think some of the challenges that we've faced, even something as small, now looking back on it, something as small as going live and nearly fainting, you know, that has built so much confidence in me. So all of the challenges, all of the losses in the moment feels overwhelming, right? But as you learn, as you reflect on those things, it really does help to build the future of the business and just how you make decisions moving forward.
Yeah, you survived. You survived that live and built an incredible business out of pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, making it through the other side. So it's such a great story, and it's such a great representation of what happens when we push ourselves just a little bit further, what can happen. So let's jump into the final four. What's your best piece of advice for women to apply today so that they can level up tomorrow?
Find a mentor, and don't be afraid to ask people to be your mentor, because women that have reached a certain level of success want to see other women succeed, and they will mentor you.
Where are you guys traveling to next?
I'm going to South Carolina for Christmas.
Hopefully we are traveling to Atlanta, Austin, or Ohio for the next franchise location.
Love it. All right. And then we talked about music a little bit and how it's important to you guys. What is each of your pump up songs?
Mine is Eminem. Lose Yourself.
Mine is Alicia Keys, Fire.
Oh gosh, those are both on my playlist. Love that. Okay, and then finally, what is your favorite quote?
Well, I think something that we really kind of live by is a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's why we went into franchising.
Amazing. All right. Well, it has been incredible talking to both of you, Erica and Monica. Tell us where we can follow along, where we can shop season two.
Yeah, you can shop and consign. So you can sell with season two on season2consign.com. And you can find us on all your favorite social media platforms at season2consign.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Time is your most precious resource, and it means the world that you spent it with us. Please help us reach more people who need to hear these interviews by hitting the subscribe button and the 5-star rating on your iPhone. Do you know someone who could benefit from this interview? Please share it. Take a screenshot and post to your Instagram stories, copy the link and share on LinkedIn, or text that link to your colleague. The Leadership is Female podcast exists to showcase female leadership in sports and entertainment and give you the tips to level up. We will extend a hand back to lead you forward. Extend the same hand by sharing this with someone who needs to hear it. One last thing. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Leadership is Female. Now, take this lesson and run. Let's go.